Do you want to advertise on this podcast? Go to podbean.com now. For only $1, you can get 1,000 listens. You can also predefine geographic locations and categories for where your advertisement will run. Start using the most cost-effective advertising campaign now. Go to podbean.com. That's podbean.com.
Digital Music Trends, Episode 90, 25th of November, 2011. Hello everyone and welcome to Digital Music Trends. This week on the show, an interview with Justin Kalifowitz, co-founder of the startup Song Trust, as well as president of Downtown Music Publishing. I'm happy to say that in this show, we talk a lot about music publishing, which is a fairly neglected field as far as startups go. Okay, so I'm really happy to welcome to the show today Justin Kalifowitz. He's the co-founder of Song Trust, and it's absolutely a pleasure to have him on the show today. So hi, Justin, and thanks for joining me.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. All good, you?
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. It's a pleasure. I wanted to start with your background. I think that's important for people to understand where you're coming from and how the idea for Song Trust came about. So how did you start out?
Sure. Basically, I've been in the music business for as long as I can remember. I managed bands in high school and worked at record companies right after high school, worked at Virgin and RCA. And then when I was 19, I learned about music publishing. Yeah. And it was a fascinating topic to me. It was as close to the sort of origination of a song, working with the people who actually write the songs. Sometimes they're artists, sometimes they're songwriters. It was really fascinating to learn about this topic. And I spent, you know, the next 11 years working in the largely traditional music publishing business. I worked at a company called Spirit Music for 7 years, where we looked after really interesting catalogs like Bob Marley's catalog and Lou Reed and Chaka Khan. And then started Downtown Music Publishing in 2007, which is a much more diverse roster of songwriters and producers and artists and catalogs. And some of the folks we work with are artists like Santa Gold and Neon Trees and Motley Crue and the Kinks and a portion of Van Morrison's catalog and yeah. A really diverse catalog. And one of the things that kept coming back to me while I was working in the traditional music publishing business is that this space, which has been growing over the past 10 years, has really been off limits to most songwriters. Like, you have to earn a certain amount of money or have some traditional metrics of success before most traditional music publishers would give songwriters and artists a look. And over the past decade, at the same time that I was coming up in the music publishing business, this whole DIY movement emerged, where there were millions of songwriters and artists out there who were creating music on their own, distributing it on their own, using marketing and tools on their own, getting tours, doing everything that they could on their own, sometimes even with indie labels, but still not generating enough traditional metrics of success to really attract the attention of a music publisher and leaving a lot of royalties on the table.
Of course.
And over time, we kind of thought, there's got to be a way. And we kept thinking about different ways in which we could create a platform for songwriters and artists to collect these royalties. And in 2010, we came up with this idea that we decided to call Song Trust and have been going at it ever since.
It's a very unique situation for you as well, because you know, you maintain your position at Downtown, and you also are the co-founder of Song Trust. So how do you wear these two different hats, so to speak?
Hire amazing staff. Like, we have the greatest teams on both businesses, you know, and they really are at the core, they're very similar businesses in that they're both rights management businesses, but at the same time, they each provide very different services to the types of folks who sign up.
Of course, of course. And one thing that's super interesting for me is how did you decide what were the skeleton features of Song Trust that you needed to have to launch? Because there's so many sides to music publishing and different features that you can offer, different things you can do. But there must have come a point when you were thinking about launching the service where you thought, well, this is what we absolutely need in order to be able to launch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I remember the original incarnation of our thinking was we threw up everything on the board that music publishers do and really started to look at what was scalable and what wasn't. What could you offer to thousands of songwriters and artists versus what could you offer to a selected group of songwriters and artists. And that's sort of the primary difference. And we sort of looked at it like, you know, how can we create, you know, a piece of software that, our users can log in and really kind of manage this on their app, you know, with our assistance and us putting deals in place and creating relationships whereby it makes the process of collecting royalties as easy as possible. And though there are many facets to music publishing, there were two pieces that we really honed in on. The first one was royalty collection. Let's give artists at all levels the opportunity to be part of these global collection organizations that collect these rights, and where possible do direct deals to collect royalties on behalf of our songwriters and artists. And then the second piece was education. Like, how do we educate you on all the many facets of what a songwriter's career looks like, so that you can take as much advantage of the software that we've built as possible?
Yeah, of course, and you know, you're talking about the collection societies, so that that's a really important part of your service. And the interesting thing is that you're not only limited to US songwriters, but you have other partnerships as well. So that gives songwriters really a more global reach and the ability to be able to collect rights from different countries without being signed to a major.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been one of the things that was always sort of, you know, grappling for so many songwriters and artists, is that, you know, the system in America is obviously very different than the system overseas. And most people actually don't know that. And in music publishing, if you're in the publishing industry, you just know that that's sort of the case, you know. But folks who are, you know, emerging songwriters and artists and doing everything to further their careers, if you go online and try to learn about music publishing, there's almost no real actionable information. There's like, it's really hard, or, you know, the other advice is, oh, don't do anything, and when it's valuable enough, someone will help you sell it to a major publisher, or someone will come along and manage it for you for a fee. And to me, I mean, I couldn't get over the number of songwriters and artists out there who are generating meaningful revenue. You know, sometimes it's hundreds of dollars, sometimes it's thousands, sometimes it's tens of thousands of dollars, and just leaving it on the table because there's no easy solution for them to go and collect it. So that was kind of where we honed in on the idea, was to try to solve for that one particular problem. And, you know, I mean, the thing about music publishing, when you think about the business, is that even the name is wrong. You know, it's a holdover from 100 years ago when folks in our industry pressed sheet music. And that's why it was called music publishing. But today, it's truly rights management and royalty collection. You know, that's the crux of it. And I think we, you know, we confuse people even by calling the business music publishing as an industry.
The service is kind of a fee-based service in terms of, you know, it's a pay-as-you-go type deal. So how does it work in terms of different tiers? How can people start out and then maybe expand their repertoire and you know, the reach of what you do for them as they go along?
Sure. Yeah, there's two fee structures on right now. There's going to be a third that we're introducing in a few weeks. And basically, and I'll talk about them, you know, in that vein, in the three that we're going to have. There's basically a basic package, a standard package, and what we're calling a pro package. Largely the differences between them are the number of writers. So if you have, if you're just a solo songwriter, you can sign up for the basic package. But if you're in a band, you all want to sign up together. You can go for the standard or the pro package. We don't want to penalize folks and charge, you know, each writer in the band, like, you know, a certain fee when you're only writing your songs together. So we're really trying to solve for that problem. Like, if you think about the internet and the way in which DIY services have been created, nobody ever really thinks about the unit of as being a songwriter. They all think about the unit as being a band. So we had to solve for the differences between bands and songwriters. The differences in the services include U.S. collection versus international collection. For example, a lot of our songwriters based here in the States don't distribute their music outside of the States. They've just chosen, you know, they're only using like iTunes U.S. and some of the services here. So we created a package that was for them. And then for the folks who are, you know, distributing their music worldwide and having, you know, meaningful sales where there's royalties to be collected, we offer the pro package that allows them to opt into all of those territories.
Yeah.
There's also some additional features, you know, around sync licensing with respect to papering sync licenses that come in and helping negotiate, helping folks come up with different fee structures around that. There's a pitching component that we've partnered with Downtown Sync Licensing Business, DMS, that the standard and premium members can opt in to submit their music to the DMS Sync library, which has deals in place with dozens of production companies out there. The folks that don't do individual deals for each particular song they use in their show, they just pre-clear buckets of music from all the publishers to be used in their show. So we allow folks entree into that part of the business as well, which has largely been off limits to emerging and independent songwriters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's certainly something that songwriters feel like it's a very remote or removed component of trying to get your songs out there. There are initiatives, I'm sure, South by Southwest and Medium and various conferences that kind of try and bring home the idea that actually pitching a song for a show is not something that only people signed to a major publisher can do. But the perception is that still for the majority of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so little information available on the process of sync licensing available for bands and songwriters and artists to look at.
Yeah.
And I think that, one thing that so many folks hone in on is like, we're going to try to get our music on Grey's Anatomy or this Big Fox feature film or get our song in an iTunes commercial. And that's all well and good, but that only represents, maybe 4 or 5% of the sync licensing. I don't know the exact numbers out there, but there's so many other different facets of sync licensing available to songwriters and artists that, they mostly ignore and they don't really look at ways. And I think what we're trying to do is really shed some light on all of those different opportunities that are available via SongTrust, as well as the ones that they can handle on their own. And one of the things we'll be introducing in 2012 to that effect is a License My Music badge that enables songwriters and artists to actually self-license, and they don't need to the help of a lawyer. They don't need any of these things. It's an actual application that sits alongside a Buy My Music on iTunes or Share, My Music on Facebook or Follow Me on Twitter. It'll sit right there. If people are interested in licensing their music, they can go right ahead and click a button. It's an automated process. It's pre-cleared.
That's amazing. And do you feel like that's a direction that the industry will take in the next sort of 4 or 5 years?
I think that there's always going to be the Fortune 500 company licensing a song, a very recognizable song by a very well-known artist, to help push their brand forward. I think they're also going to be working more and more with songwriters at all levels and artists at all levels. But the key is, I think what as an industry we need to do is really make licensing an easier process. It's an impossible process right now, and it's why so much innovation isn't happening in the music business.
Yeah.
And why many, even though there's been a lot of investment in the music business in 2011, I think there would be even more investment in the music business if licensing wasn't so complicated.
Yeah.
So, while there's a tremendous amount of thought and opinion being spread around about how you license major label repertoire and major published repertoire, well-known songs and the like, there's very little attention given to how you license everyone who's sort of off the grid. And our whole concept with SongTrust is to bring all of the songwriters and artists in the world onto the licensing grid.
Yeah. And, there are so many music startups out there. I've covered a load of them. There are many, many more that I haven't covered yet. But there's very few bar, almost none, that deal with the publishing in the way that you do. Do you think it's because, like, in the same way that artists are sometimes confused when they start out about, most of the time confused about publishing and how it works, in the same way you need it really to be somebody from the inside to be able to spearhead a change of this kind, an evolution of the publishing business in this direction?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's so many sort of places where publishing has its own unique way, and it doesn't really correspond to the way the record business works. And, a long time ago, someone told me when I was just starting to learn about music publishing that you can get through your whole career in the music business and not know anything about music publishing. But if you just understand music publishing, you'll understand the whole music business. And I thought that was really interesting because there's no facet of the music business that isn't affected by the rules and regulations associated with copyright and what music publishers do on a day-to-day basis. But to your point, there are so few people who understand those rules. And publishing has been such a great business for so many people. I mean, the investment that's gone into the music publishing space, though it's not really reported on, it's amazing. I mean, just look at the other week with EMI splitting up in two and publishing selling for, you know, $300 million more than the recorded music business. I think 10 years ago, people would have looked at you and said, you're crazy if you think that would ever happen.
Yeah.
And it did. So, you know, I think our experience in trying to change this business and offering a solution to people who were previously thought of as too small to offer a solution to has been that you absolutely need a tremendous background in music publishing. And not only do you need to understand how it works, you need to have relationships on a global level with folks who are willing to adopt different rules for this new subset of songwriters who've never been on the grid before.
Absolutely, yeah, that's what you need. Relationships are the basis really of a lot of the music publishing business, and that brings me to another question I had on competition, because a company like TuneCore, for example, earlier this month introduced a service that is on the footsteps of what you guys are doing. It's, you know, not comparable exactly, but it's kind of going in that direction. And do you feel like there is space for a few different companies to come into the space and try and do their own type of innovation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, competition is a good thing. It raises the bar. It raises the attention that, you know, this gets. You know, companies like TuneCore and others have really big audiences, and they're going to listen to this idea. And I think that for us, you know, educating the community about this opportunity is, you know, the most important thing for our business, you know, and for this sector, is to educate, you know, this growing DIY community about the opportunities that exist to, you know, earn real revenue and use publishing and their rights as an opportunity to promote and grow their careers.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing that's super exciting for UK artists, because, you know, I'm based in London most of the time, so is that actually in the last few months, you've allowed UK artists to actually join Song Trust and be able to collect royalties from the US collection agencies, and that's something that up to now has been incredibly hard for them to do.
Yeah, we're looking at different solutions, you know, for different countries all over the world. I mean, that's the thing. There was you know, the CEO of Pandora, Joe Kennedy, who had said once that, you know, the great thing about the internet is that it's global, but copyright is local, you know, and the rules and regulations in each territory are so vastly different that, you know, we're as fast as we can, we're creating, you know, unique sites for all the major territories around the world. Yeah. To both explain to folks who live in countries like the UK, Germany, France, Japan, Australia, what the opportunities are globally. And separately explain to songwriters what the opportunities are in each of those unique territories and how they're different from each other and what the revenue streams are, what the top earners are, the timelines associated with it. I mean, the timelines associated with collecting traditional music publishing royalties range from as quick as 3 months to as long as 18 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're working to try to expedite that and really provide a tremendous amount of visibility and clarity on what's going on.
That's great. And do you find the collection societies to be fairly open to this kind of discussion and this kind of innovation, or some more open than others?
You know, it's interesting. We have had a really great relationship with all the collection societies that we've been dealing with. They've been open and really into it. And I think that in a general sense, other folks who have approached them with their own ideas of what they want to do have maybe have been a bit scary. But the fact that we are also coming, we're born, Songtrust is born out of a very reputable music publishing company that's, you know, one of the top independent music publishers in the world. So we deal with them in their very traditional business. And, you know, we've really done everything we can to accommodate, you know, all of their concerns and ensure them that, you know, this was going to be managed in a professional way and that this wasn't, you know, going to be done in any way that would sort of compromise a system that's working for them. But, you know, as I always point out to anyone I speak to about this, is that the music publishing industry right now works, you know, for the top 5% of songwriters, really. You know, it doesn't, the system as it is doesn't really work for the other 95% who, you know, are earning what I always argue is some number under $20,000. If you're earning less than $20,000 a year, the traditional music publishing business is not that interested, even though it might help you buy a new van or a new amp or new guitars or pay to fund your next record or whatever it is. You know, there's real revenue out there for lots of folks, and we're really trying to help them collect every penny that they're owed.
Yeah. Yeah, That's great. And you know, I think it's incredibly important that the work you're doing in getting the word out there, first of all.
I appreciate that, and thank you for helping.
Ah, that's cool. No problem. But the best place is to actually find SongTrust with the website, which is songtrust.com. And there's a lot of documentation on there in terms of, you know, about press cuttings, frequently asked questions and all that sort of stuff. So if you guys, listeners, need to look at more material and understand a bit more about how this works, then head to the website at songtrust.com. And also you're on Twitter, so that's at SongTrust. Is that right?
That's right.
Perfect. Well, you know, it was absolutely great having you on the show, and look forward to seeing how the company is going to evolve in the next few months.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
And I really hope you enjoyed my chat with Justin. Next week on the show, an interview with Olivier de Simon, head of music for WebDoc. I was at the Music Tech Pitch 4.5 event earlier this week, which was hosted by EMI Records, and WebDoc was selected as winner from the startups that presented. It was actually a great evening and really nice to see a major getting involved and providing resources for this kind of event. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget that you can follow me on Twitter. The handle is at DigiMusicTrends. The show's website is www.digitalmusictrends.com, and you can also access it via the iTunes Store on your computer or on any iOS device. Digital Music Trends is also available on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/digitalmusictrends and Mixcloud at mixcloud.com/digitalmusictrends. There are also some great applications to keep up to date with podcasts on the go from your mobile, such as Downcast for iOS devices and Dogcatcher for Android. Have a great week, and till next time. Digital music.